Greetings to you in Jesus' name this morning. Thank you for those warnings, Brother Ed. Shall we pray? Father, we come to you here in Jesus' name. Thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Your words shall stand throughout all eternity, even though earth heavens shall pass away. There your word stands supreme. Father, may it find its way into our hearts this morning. Make its dwelling place there. Father, we come to you this way this morning. Just open up our lives to you, God, that you may speak. Continue to speak to us. From your word, from your truth, Lord, may it establish deep conviction in our hearts. May we be transformed more into the image of Christ. Continue to have your way in this congregation, in this service. Father, we commit these few moments of time into your hands. Pray that you would bring the increase. Pray that the words that come forth, God, that they bring life. And they would breathe life. They would breathe life. Father, not because of me or anyone that's here, but because of you. God, have your way. Have your preeminence in this service. We commit this day and this time to your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I feel like in some ways I'm shifting gears here on us, but that's okay. I don't know. This is what the Lord has before me. Appreciated the prayer in the prayer room this morning. Some of the prayers that have been offered. It just reassured me. Sometimes, you know, we walk by faith, right? But sometimes it. We need reassurance, and that we're hearing from God, and it just reassured my heart again this morning. These few thoughts that I have here. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 16. There's a portion of the scripture here that I just stood out to me here in the past week. Again, that had me kind of look into it a little bit more. And it's one of those that we have heard often, even in our background, we've heard it often. Maybe there's still a confused message that comes forth from that. I'm not sure where everyone is at there. The purpose is not that I see a real need here, but at the same time we're made of flesh and we have a continued need for just holding up our lives to the Word of God and just know where we at here. So with those thoughts, we'll just delve into this here in Matthew. Chapter 16, we'll be reading from verse 21 to 28 there, that portion. But before that, the question comes to the disciples. Whom do men say that I am? Some said, this is Jesus talking, some said that you're John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Others say Jeremiah, one of the prophets. That's good. But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And in verse 20, then in 21, we start reading. From that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. We're going to key in on verse 24. And there are four phrases that we want to draw out in this verse. Number one being, If any man will come after me. There's a few different phrases that Jesus uses in light of this and the different Gospels. And some of them read this way. If any man will, sue thee at the law. Or if any man will, say aught to you. Or if any man will, do his will. Or if any man will come, like we have in this verse. There's a word that's beginning of each of those phrases, and it is if. And if, when there's an if, there's always a condition. When you speak the word if to your children or to someone, if you do this or this, there's always something that comes in the end. And so we have it in these verses. They all speak in condition, or in case of, or provided that. Let's look at what the if is combating. Verse 22, 23. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord. This is just right after he said about what the things that he has to suffer. Of the elders and the chief priests and scribes. And Peter, bless his heart, he just comes out of the Lord blessing him. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. And he goes on and calls him upon this rock. Thou art Peter, thou art this stone. And so on. But here we see that Peter took him and begin to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord. These things aren't going to happen to you. This shall not be unto thee. And we have this strong rebuke. Verse 23, can you imagine with me being there with Peter, getting that blessing, then maybe a few moments later, being called, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things that be of God. This sounds all too familiar to Jesus as he thinks of the devil tempting him in the wilderness. These thoughts do not go along with the mind and will of God. And sometimes in ministry we want to ease off the truth a little so as not to make it too hard for the individual. But maybe he or she needs to come face to face with the hard truth. This is all voluntarily, but if, none is forced, if thou desirest to come after me, Jesus is saying, then there are conditions. If you are willing to come after me,
There is no exclusion. It doesn't matter what color, how old or young you are, boy or girl, rich or poor, learned or unlearned, short or tall, if any will come after me. Again, he speaks of condition, and let us look at the first condition. Let him deny himself. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. We hear so many things about selfishness, self-life, self-denial. So bear with me. Here we go again. But I think we're made of the same stuff, this flesh that we have to deal with. This is a condition that is to be met, and it is not a one-time deal. This thing is so prevalent, and it hits at the very core of this fleshly being. Self raises its ugly head in so many different ways that it needs a crucifixion to exterminate it. We're not talking about subjection. We're talking about a funeral. This thing of self comes out so many different ways. On ice cream or some type of candy bars has these sayings on it. Indulge. You deserve it. We deserve indulgence. Self deserves indulgence. Here's some terms that we use. And if you look in Webster's, and if you look up self, I think you would be shocked how many self words there are. Self-pursuit. We heard some this morning. Self-pursuit. Self-indulgence. Self-assured. Self-centered. Self-confidence. Self-deceit. Self-defense. Self-devotion. Self-discipline. Self-esteem, self-expression, self-fulfillment, self-govern, self-gratification, self-help, self-identity, self-importance, self-interested, self-justifying, self-love, self-perception, self-pity, self-portrait, selfies, self-promotion, reliance, self-respect, self-righteousness, self-seeking, the list goes on. We don't think too much of a self-centered person, yet we think pretty highly of ourselves. I mean, we don't take too much from anybody, and we cater way too much to this fleshly tabernacle. What would happen when, if we start saying no to it? It gets all the food it wants, good food, maybe some expensive food. Almost anything that it wants is at its fingertips. With a little bit more money, I can get this, that, or the other. Whatever my little fancy fleshly heart desires. If it's money I want, I'll get it. If it's another toy, small or big, I'll get it. This fleshly heart knows no restraint, knows no denial. It's all about it, the here and now. I so appreciate the quote we heard last Sunday, I think it was. It goes something like this. We can choose our destination and accept our journey. Or, we can choose our journey and accept our destination. What does that mean? We can choose our destination, the vision that we have 30, 40, 50 years down the road, and accept the journey. Because it'll be a journey. Or, we can choose our journey. But remember, you will accept the destination. Out of this self comes independence. And independence is the root of human sin and develops into conformity to the world. It is the broad self-asserting and dominant me that would be God. We can get some of those illustrations or examples of the life in Saul. It is a fearful object lesson of the power and peril of the self-life and the need of utter crucifixion before we can enter into the true kingdom of spiritual victory and power. Think of Saul's life. It is a rejection of God as the supreme king and a vainglorious desire to be independent to divine control. The desire was to appoint us a king, such as all the other nations have. Talk about influence of this world. We want what it has. We want to be like them. We don't want to be different. This is a spirit that comes out of self. And it needs to be like King Agag, hacked into pieces. Jesus Christ must be the center focus of our lives. He must be the guiding factor. He must be the supreme being. He must have the highest place of authority. My question and challenge to us here this morning is, what is the foundation of our decision making? Does our life still consist of pleasing our flesh? What about our hobbies? What about the things that we are involved in? Where's our money going? Where's our time being spent? Now, this hits me. I'm not just talking everyone here. I'm including us all. How much of self am I denying? Really? What am I doing in secret that I don't want any of the brothers to know about? Why does the conversation stop when certain brothers come up on certain things? Well, that brother couldn't handle it. He's a little bit weak. Well, I would say the contrary. If we don't have the power in ourselves to rise above this selfishness that we struggle with, I would say we would be the weak ones. We're too weak to say no to the flesh. I wonder if the American dream mentality hasn't had its influence. A kingdom vision and pursuit must be ours. Does that fit into our schedule or desires? We're still talking about denying ourselves. This is the condition that must be. If any man will come after me, may we renounce selfish pursuits, self-dependence, and throw ourselves upon the mercy of God. We must deny our own will, however pleasing, and do the will of God. We've been alluding to it here a couple of different times, and I think we'll just come out and say it. This whole thing of money, and it could be time, you fill in the blank. We're going to pick on money today. We all like it, right? And it's needful. We can't get away from that. And I want to be careful what I say here. But we are grown ups, so I think we can handle it. There's a side of it being used for the kingdom that's very commendable. And when the offering plate comes around like it did this morning, there's a lot that goes in. And that's commendable. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where it goes otherwise. Our hobbies. It has to support. The money that goes in our own selfish desires and pursuits. And each of us sitting here know what they are. We get pretty excited about the next new thing. If I would or could get that new piece of equipment, that new toy, that new machine, that new gadget, that new you fill in the blank, then I could do this. The question comes to us. Is it for the kingdom of God? Is it to advance His kingdom? We can have all kinds of things, excuses for getting it, but really, honestly, here in the past year, how much of what I spent and did was for myself? Time comes in here too. I waste a lot of time, and it's not right. Let us answer that honestly before God. Here's some verses out of 1 Timothy chapter 6. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. Those that have a desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things that you heard this morning. This is another one to flee from. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. Those that desire to be rich or richer, still and always coveting after more, just a little bit more. I think of that question was asked to a rich man, how much more is he going to need before he's content or satisfied? Just a little bit more. May we live lives that are not attached to this world. A picture, a life, a testimony of self-denial. Not denial. There's a lot of people that live in denial. There's a lot that deny that they have problems with self. But they're not a picture or testimony of denying self. The people I'm closest to, my wife, my husband, my children, my co-workers, they see and know how disciplined I really am. So this is a condition that Jesus puts in front of his disciples. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We'll take up his cross. Here's another condition. Not only must I deny myself, I have to take up my cross, and no one else can do that for me. Luke adds the word daily in this phrase. Matthew 10. Verse 37 and 38 says, He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Jesus didn't say his cross. He said our cross. Picture with me Jesus taking up his cross. Do we not think that it was burdensome, even to the point where someone else had to carry it because he grew weary and faint? It was burdensome. It was heavy. He grew weary. It definitely was disgraceful. The cross was an instrument of death. And can you imagine the humility this was because
this man was condemned to die, what did Jesus do that was so wrong? What about his emotions and feelings? I don't think Jesus was without his inner feelings and emotions being tried. Here in John, we get first chapter, we get a picture of him coming to his own, and his own received him not. Can you imagine coming to, maybe you're gone for a while, coming back home and nobody seems to recognize you, nobody really knows, seems to know who you are. There's no reception. A feeling of the emotions and feelings that get involved in something like that. You can only imagine that Jesus in his incarnation would have. Some of them really came out in the garden, sweating blood drops for you and I. These were all in addition to the fact that he went to the cross. I think we can take this in a figurative sense, where all things that are burdensome, trying, and by this world's standard, disgraceful, we must endure. Separation doesn't come just in dress. When I truly let other people know what I believe about the principles of God's Word, let's say divorce and remarriage, for an example, I will be a thorn in their side. I won't be so highly thought of when I speak against their wrongdoings. What does it mean to follow the Lord? What does it mean to take up His cross? To take up our cross. I must be willing to be disgraceful, not to God, but this world. 2 Peter 9-22. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, and they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas the angels which are greater in power and might bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, what we heard this morning out of Jude, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, and sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart, they have exercised with covetous practices and cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with the man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, and of the same is he brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Here's a picture of someone that's been washed and going back to the mire. My question to us this morning, is that a picture that we're leaving behind? For it had been better for them not have to know the right way,
the way of righteousness, then after they had known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned unto his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her own wallowing in the mire. What is my cross? We must endure whatever life brings our way, assuming that we are totally living for Jesus. We can be great sinners if we take advantage of these obstacles. We can be great gainers if we take advantage of these obstacles that are set before us and learn and grow thereby. It consists simply of duty, our duty in the kingdom, and it will be somewhat different for all. Our lives and challenges are all unique in their own way. That's why I can't carry your cross and you can't carry mine. It's not making trouble for ourselves. It is only doing the things required of us from the Word of God. We must not be ashamed of it. Please, we live in a different kingdom, which has different value system and different laws with a different king. Let this life in Christ or God produce whatever shame, disgrace, pain it may. This every true follower of Jesus has to deal with. Jesus says that if I don't do this, I'm not worthy of Him. I'm not worthy to be called one of His own. I don't deserve to be called one of His disciples. As one writer put it, he who is not ready, after my example, to suffer death in the cause of my religion is not worthy of me. We are not afraid to let the world influence us on this cross-bearing. When we should be more afraid what the Lord of glory will do when we deny Him. Take up my cross. Simply put, to embrace the condition which God has appointed and to bear the troubles, the difficulties we may meet with or in walking the Christian road. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Brings us to our last one. Follow me. If there's a man that wants to come after me, these are the requirements. These are the conditions. Let him deny himself. Is that a picture of our lives? Follow means to be in the same way with. I could say it. It wouldn't bear much weight. I tell you to follow me. But this call comes from Jesus to follow Him. How could Paul say, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ? Because he knew that when he or we follow the Lord, the outcome will be right. I think of children playing follow the leader. And that's what they try to do, right? Follow the leader. You know, whatever the leader does, they do. The rest of them do. You know, if they jump over here, everybody jumps. It's like a row of sheep. I don't know what else you'd call it. And so when the leader takes off running, of course, they all just do whatever the leader does. The leader skips and they all skip. One leader runs and they all run. Their antics look pretty sweet at times. But is it really any different for us older ones as we follow the Lord, as we're called to follow Him? Walking in obedience to His will in such a way that we try to imitate Jesus, and that's simply what it means. If I were a leader in the game, follow the leader, what would I be leading people into? And you? Jesus says to deny self, take up the cross, and follow, and to imitate. Do as He did. Walk as He walked. Talk as He talked. Love as He loved. Forgive as He forgave. May we learn what it means to be followers of Jesus. You know, we think we got everything just, you know, pretty right. We're doing all right. May His divine character be stamped on my life. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus said, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. Jesus said, follow me. And if thou will be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice and I know them and they follow me. If any man serve me, let him follow me. How do you follow? Simple, isn't it? It says here, deny ourselves, take up our cross. Does those that are closest to us see a picture of self-denial in our lives? Does it show restraint? My prayer is that we would be followers of Jesus in such a way that we would display to the world that we have no attachments here. Our affections are on things above, that we stand out in our integrity, and there's nothing done underhandedly. Everything is open and honest before all men to see. Because God sees it anyway, that there is no question mark hanging over our heads in any way, that God and all the world will know that we truly are followers of Jesus. There would be a clear distinction, there would be a clear separation from this world's so-called Christians by simple walking in obedience to the will of God. Follow me and keep on following. Just like to read through our text again. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save a life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory
What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That thing that pulls his heart away from going after God, that's what he'll give in exchange for his soul. Those things that gets in between relationships and the things that cause him to get bitter and sin, that's what he will give in exchange for his soul. So how cheap are we willing to sell out? When Jesus put a value upon a soul, he said he's worth more than all the world's goods. But yet we sell out for dollars. Come on. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom.